Would you turn your Bible to Ephesians 4:25, please? Have you ever wondered why so many people hate the Bible with a passion, and they would go any lengths to stand against everything about Christianity and even persecute Christians to death? It's not like a Bible itself spray the graffiti on their car or they burn their breakfast. It is because the Word of God revealed their sins as it mentioned in John chapter 3. Go keep your finger in Ephesians, go turn to the left, and turn. Go to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. The men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. In addition to the revealing the unbeliever's sin, the Bible also tells us how Christians should live. It is not unusual for many half-hearted Christians to try to or choose to ignore what Bible tell them to live, because they are living an ungodly, backslidden in life, and God speak to them not to do that through the Bible. The Bible can give us a very nitty-gritty instruction to all of us. Actually, sometimes downright very uncomfortable, because it's too close for comfort for many of us. The Word of God does not do this, because it's an ultimate party crasher. Rather, it is a living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. I believe that just about every one of us in this room will be convicted today through this morning, this study. And when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, there is only one course of action we are supposed to take. What is it?
Obey.
What is it?
Obey.
Okay, good. That's what exactly we are going to do. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are living in the world that has lost its way. It does not know where it's going. It has no idea what they're supposed to do. But they are thinking that, the world is thinking that, and the people in it thinking that somehow they have all the answers. We do have an answer in this book. Because this book, the Bible, is the voice of God. You spoke through this word. And you are speaking to us. Let our heart be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Let our heart be tender to receive your word and obey. Then we may be filled with the Holy Spirit and living the lives that bring glory to you. Father, we pray for President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And we pray for our uniformed personnel, our soldiers, our police officers, and federal agents, the sheriff deputies, and the firefighters. And you protect them as they protect our lives and our freedom. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 25 of chapter 4 in Ephesians, please. Therefore, the putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are member of one another. The Apostle Paul is speaking to us first about our lying. We tell our children not to lie, correct? But what if somebody you don't want to talk to on the phone call you, and your children, one of your children happened to pick up the phone and you say, tell them I'm not here. What are we asking that our child to do? Lie. Exactly. We just told them, don't lie, and then it's okay for me to tell you to lie. That would be contradicting. And it is a lie. It is a deception. And someone would say, come on, deception is too harsh word. I'm just giving them selective truth. Well, okay. No matter how people want to package a lie, it is a lie. It is deception. A lie is a statement that is contrary to fact. And spoken with the intent to what? Deceive. Exactly. Satan is a liar, and he wants us to believe that God is a liar. And their first recorded lie was done none other than by Satan himself to Eve, in recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Whenever we speak the truth, the Spirit of God works. Whenever we lie, Satan is at work. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 22 speaks about how hell is prepared for those who love to make a lie. Of course, this it's not talking about anyone who lied occasionally, once in a blue moon. This is the one who is controlled by the lies. Do you know somebody who lies so often they have to come up with another lie to cover that previous lie, and they are living in literal lies? And you have no idea if they are speaking the truth. I know one person, if she says the sky is blue, I have to go out and check out the sky. In light of so much talk about the fiscal cliff and the tax hike lately, I don't know who is talking the truth, who's speaking the truth, the White House or the Congress. It must be truth for the, you know, all saints, all the liars, go to Washington, D.C. There are two reasons we must tell the truth. Number one, God is the truth. God is the truth, and we are his followers. Number two, we are members of one another in the family of God. What we say, what? Affect each other. Okay, guys, here's an important point for you. For the husband. Let's say your wife has been enjoying the food lately. And she was packing a little bit, and up like about 20 pounds. And she went out, bought this dress, and she put it on in front of the mirror, and it's showing every ounce of that 20 pounds on her. And she turned around and asked you that question, that you rather jump off the plane, perfectly good plane, without parachute, than answer that question. And she looked at you and says, do I look fat in this dress? Okay, you guys know why?
Booby trap.
Yeah, it's a booby trap, exactly. What would you say, man of God? Would you lie?
I love you, huh?
How about this? Tell her there's apps that are terribly wrong with that dress. She should take it back right away. And you are buying that time. Always blame the dress for your long, happy marriage so that you don't have to sleep on the couch. Second thing Apostle Paul talked about is about our anger. Verse 26. Go there, please. What does it say? Be angry. And you're thinking, all right. And then, don't forget to read the next three words. And do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and nor give a place to the devil. Does it surprise you that the Bible allows in those, both in the Old Testament and New Testament? Okay, Chris is buying a lunch for all of us. In Psalm 4:4 and the New Testament, to get angry. Now, the Apostle Paul and King David did not have in mind the temper tantrum. But the righteous anger that directs its rage at the appropriate object. Sin, sinful behavior, but not sinners. You with me? It is expressed for the right reason to defend God's righteous standard, not to avenge personal grievance. Jesus driving money changer from the temple that was mentioned in Matthew chapter 21, it's not about the temper tantrum Jesus is having. It was a righteous indignation, and it's a good example of righteous anger. We could use more of this kind of anger today. Too often we Christians remain silent, apathetic, while sin and injustice rampant over people. Would you agree? Unfortunately, we more often become angry because others fail to give us what we think we deserve, like a respect. Or they may inconvenience us. Or they may hurt our feelings. Whatever the cause, our anger often stems from the selfish desires, not holy vigilance. It is difficult for us to practice the truly holy anger or righteous indignation because our emotions are tainted by our sinful and selfish nature. And we do not have all the facts. We do not understand everything like God does. And God sees everything clearly and knows everything completely, but we do not. If your anger continues, listen, please, if you have an issue with the anger, if you get off the handle, fly off the handle quickly, if you have a tendency to do so, listen, if your anger continues, it will start to change its shape to wrath, a murderous thought, or malice like a simmering pot about to boil over. And you may say, well, I don't get angry quickly. Well, ask your spouse. She or he may tell you otherwise. Then it becomes sin. Before it happens, we must settle the matter quickly. The fire of anger, listen, fire of anger, if not quenched by loving forgiveness, will spread and defile and destroy the work of God. According to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, anger is the first step toward the murder because anger gives the devil foothold in our lives, and Satan is a murderer from the beginning. And Satan hates God and God's people, and when he finds out the believers with the sparks of anger in his heart, he fans that spark, and he tries to make it into flame and add the fuel to the fire, and does a great deal of damage to God's people and His church. Third thing the Apostle Paul talks about is about stealing. And some of you are thinking, preacher, are you thinking that we are a pack of thieves? No. Usually don't, but Bible might declare it differently. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer. Rather, let him work, labor, working with his hands and what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. All right, stealing encompasses a whole array of activities, from the obvious ones such as robbery, burglary, shoplifting, embezzlement, and taking the office supplies. Do you know the biggest theft of the business is not done by a retail store like a Walmart out here? It's not done by the shoplifting, but it's done by the employees. $9 billion worth of merchandise taken out through the back door by the employees. The security of Walmart or those people are more concerned about employee theft more than shoplifting. But what about this? as subtle as wasting company time? Have you ever thought about that? And you're thinking, well, I'm evangelizing. Well, that's good for you. Evangelize on your time, not on company time. You should be the best employee they will ever find. They bring the glory to God. So if you have to evangelize to somebody because that particular time is right, then make up the time afterward. Whatever the activity is, modern or ancient, Paul exhorted his readers to still no longer. What about income tax? Ooh. I told you we're coming too close for comfort. To much of dismay of the believers of socialism, the Bible supports and endorses capitalism. You shall not steal. It's one of the Ten Commandments, in case you haven't noticed. That means God institutes the right of a personal private ownership of property. He also tells us to be merciful and generous to those who are in need. Just as Satan is a liar and murderer, and he's also a thief. John 10:10. Go there, please. Keep your finger back there. And John 10:10. It reads, "The thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that and they may have it more abundantly." You see, when Satan tempted Eve, he led her to become a thief by taking the forbidden fruit that doesn't belong to her. She was told not to take it. Then she in turn led Adam to do the same thing, to become a thief as well. You see, the first Adam was a thief, was kicked out of the, cast out of the paradise. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, turned to the thief on the cross, and he said, go to Luke chapter 23, please. Let's see what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Luke 23, verse 43. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In other words, the first Adam became a thief and got kicked out of the paradise. Last Adam saved the thief and put him in the paradise. So what is the remedy for the stealing? Work and help others. The current federal government, I'm going to be political here. Current federal government is encouraging American people to depend on the government for a living rather than creating the right environment to work. Do you know why they do this? Do you know why the government is spending so much money creating more and more Social Security and dependence on the federal government? You know why? This is the reason. I don't care what current government is saying. The reason is because the more you depend on the government, the more power they have over you. You understand? They can control you literally. Healthcare, they don't care about your health. They care about you depending on them for the healthcare insurance. For how many people? 14 million people. They are revamping the whole country and taking over one third of the American economic industry and wasting how much money? I'm not to the point of if there's any difference between Democrat and Republican. They will do the same thing if they have a power. The idea is they want to have a control over people's lives, and once they have a control over people's lives, they want to hold on to it as long as they can. This is a great way to do it. How do I know? Because socialism was a communism light. I used to live facing communist country day in day out for 25 years. So I know more about communism than all of you put together. socialism is one step away from the communism. In completely controlling your life. In case you haven't seen the photo in Russia before all this thing went down, to get a toilet paper, you have to stand in a line for 2 hours to get the 6-pack of toilet paper. Do you want that in this country? No. That's what the government is doing now. They want you to be lazy. In the communist country, they want you to be lazy. Depend on somebody else. If you work hard, doesn't matter. They will take the money away from you and redistribute. Listen, Bible is not that way. Lazy Christian rob himself, others, and God. Of course, Apostle Paul was not writing to the believers who cannot work because of physical condition or somebody who lost a job. But this one, those who choose not to work, stay home, play video games. I know a lot of them. They rather stay home, and he's 35 years old, still live with mom and playing video game. And he's not looking for a job. Fourth thing that Apostle Paul is teaching us is about corrupt word. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Would you agree if I said the mouth and the heart are connected? Would you agree with that? Even if you don't agree, but the Bible says so. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 12, please. Verse 34, 12, 34. Second half of verse 34 says, for out of abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. Did you get that? From out of your heart, your mouth is just a little piece that moves, speaks forth. Since you have become a born-again Christian, you started to do the things differently and talk differently than before. Now, if you ask yourself honestly and you say, no, not really. I talk the same way that I talked before. I do the things the same way I did before. If that is your honest answer, you have to ask yourself if your salvation is genuine. Because when you get saved, your heart gets changed. After you become a born-again Christian, you may, from the time to time, accidentally slip out bad words. But this is the area you need to pay more attention in the future for the sake of the name of God. Many years ago, my family went to this drama, a Christian high school drama. Because our daughter's friend was in it, so we all went there. We were sitting in the church, big church, north side of Tucson, watching a drama. Grant that this is done by a Christian high school actors and actress, directed by a Christian. It's not a Christian drama, but it was all done by them, Christian. And mostly Christian audience. In the middle of the drama, one of the dialogue lines using cuss word. Majority of the audience thought that was funny. I didn't see anything funny. Grant that it was a part of the dialogue. It was in the script. If I'm a director and I see that particular word, I would omit. That doesn't belong there. Usually the foul word is just to emphasize your point. It's not necessarily you need that word to talk. Remember, I'm a chaplain for the sheriff department. Sometimes I have to ask the guys, especially the SWAT team member, do you guys talk that way in front of the judge when you go to court? Or when you go to home in front of your children, and say, no. Then why is it necessary for you to talk that way?
I don't know.
They are not adding, it doesn't make any difference. If they take out all this F word, the cuss word, you can actually make a complete sentence without losing anything. They just want to add this. Here's my question. You, as a born-again Christian, is it necessary for you to talk the same way as you talked before? Don't excuse it as a French. By the way, it's not a French. If that's the French, you're speaking lousy French. Don't cuss or use a vulgar or the profanity words. They don't belong to the mouth of believers of Jesus Christ. Understand? While I'm on the soapbox, listen carefully, please. And don't make a sexual innuendo or don't participate in dirty jokes with a laughter. When you do that, you're agreeing with them. These are the part of the corrupt word the Apostle Paul talks about. And you may say, oh, you're making such a boring life. I don't have a boring life. My life is as exciting as it can be, and I'm going at full speed. When I hear unbelievers use profanity and vulgarity, I feel sorry for them. Because someday they're going to stand in the presence of God, in the great white throne judgment seat by God, and they're going to regret every vulgarity, every profanity came out of it from their mouth. They will regret. They will remember every one of them. God will remind them. But when I hear a born-again Christian use a vulgarity, cuss word, a profanity, I cringe. And I have to wonder, what are you thinking using that kind of word? And you may say, well, that's not bad, such a bad word. You know, when the movie Gone with the Wind, and some of you guys are too young to remember that, Gone with Wind, when it came out, there's a four-letter word. When it came out, it was on the front page of newspaper because the clock cable used that word. Now, that's probably mixed in a G-rated word movie. You don't need to talk that way. The remedy for the corrupt word is filling our heart with the love of Christ so that only the truth, grace, and purity can come out of your mouth. Remember that your word have a power either for good or evil. We can tear down others with the talk of malice or strengthen others with the encouragement that comes from the word of God. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right, last one the Apostle Paul talks about is the bitterness. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? It is when we have a bitterness with one another. Did you get that? It is when we have a bitterness with one another, whether that person is a fellow believer in Christ or not. Bitterness refers to the subtle hostility that poisons the whole inner man. Used to emphasize on that word poison. It doesn't poison other people. It poisons you especially. Somebody does something we do not like, and so we harbor ill will against him. Bitterness leads to the wrath, and which is the explosion on the outside of feeling on the inside. Wrath and anger often leads to the clamor, which is brawling, and evil speaking, bad mouthing. First one is a fighting with a fist, and second one is a fighting with the words. It is difficult to believe that Christians would act this way, but they do. Sometimes both believing husband and wife, the Christian husband and wife, can have a bitterness between them. There's nothing colder and nothing more terrible than turning cold back on each other and going to bed in the same bed. Some of you might have experienced it. You're going to bed with your spouse and you're turning back on each other. You don't even say goodnight to each other. Been there, done that? Don't say it out loud, too loud. And if you came to church in that mindset because you've done that night before, I hope and pray that you would make peace today, this afternoon. Don't wait. Just say, I am sorry. And then followed by, please forgive me. Does it go against your pride? Probably. But it's good for you. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you guys, if there's anyone, any husband or wife, never argued. Alex Rodriguez raised his hand. And I thought, okay, he's joking. He's pulling my leg again because he's such a jokester. After the service, he told me that he and Amy never argued because he started the day with her with coffee in their hand, prayed together, and reading the word together. It is no wonder. I apologize to you, brother. Forgive me. I thought you were joking. Being a normal. Bitterness and anger usually over trivial things, right? A lot of times it's trivial things. Make a havoc on homes and churches and friendships. Bitterness does not only make a havoc on the peoples around us, but it also within ourselves. We choose to lock ourselves within the heavy prison wall of bitterness in our heart, even though we have that key to get out. Do you know what that key is? Forgiveness. We can walk out anytime, but we choose to hold on to that key and simmering in our heart. The other person whom we need to forgive may not want to be forgiven, may not want to do anything to do with you. Or that person may not be available or because that person is not existing. Then you make a peace with God and move on. You don't need to stay in that inside of prison wall of your heart with a bitterness. I have a 6th application. Probably this is the most amount of applications. But one for each items that we talked about. Number one, speak the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God. Any question on that? A child was a witness of this crime. And defense attorney asked, do you know what you said before? He said, yes, sir. Can you recite it again? He said, yes, sir. And he did. And exactly the way he recited. Did your dad, defense attorney asked him, did your dad teach you how to do that? He said, no, my daddy told me to tell the truth. You know, if you speak the truth, you don't have to remember what did I say before. All you remember is the truth. You don't have to come up with another lie to cover that first lie. Second one, be angry for unrighteousness, but don't let your anger turn into a sin. Your choice. My choice. Third application, Don't steal, whether it's the things that doesn't belong to you or company time. Don't say, I'm evangelizing for glory of God. Fourth application, be nice. Okay? We use that word often nowadays. Be nice. In your word, not speaking cuss word, vulgarity, profanity. You know why? Because God is within you. God listens to what you say and what you think. Before you even say the word, God hears what you're thinking. Be nice. Fifth application. Don't let the bitterness become the resident in your heart. Forgive that person as much as you want to be forgiven by God. I want to be forgiven by God for everything I did wrong. So if you don't want to forgive that person, remember that much will be subtracted. Covering all this six, all these five things, last application. If you are convicted from the Lord through this study, what do you do? Obey Him. Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance. And thank you for this truth that makes us uncomfortable, that convicts us, but that lead to your truth will lead to the godly living. We'll bring honor and praise to your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.